Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this amazing podcast. I say that with humility. And to this exceptionally amazing episode with my friend and yours, the girlfriend doctor, Dr. Anna Kabeca. Dr. Anna, welcome to the show. Tell us, how did you become known as the girlfriend doctor?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's actually a funny story. I was working with two friends of yours as well, Nancy Holla and Sherry Salata. Sherry Salata was the executive producer for The Oprah Show for quite a number of years. And in talking with her and working with her, she's like, oh, Dr. Anna, we can ask and tell you anything. There's no such thing as too much information with you. And she said, you are our girlfriend doctor. And so that kind of started sticking.
Absolutely. And you really are the girlfriend doctor. And for those of you who, you know, when I was also on the Sherry and Nancy show and became Nancy's dating coach, which is how Nancy found the lid to her pot, got married. And that's how Dr. Anna and I connected as well. And Dr. Anna said, wait, who's this person that helped Nancy Holla find love? And then had me on her show. And we instantly became friends. So I'm so happy to introduce you to my audience, the smart daters at Smart Dating Academy. So let's jump right in, Dr. Anna, and let's do a deep dive into the world of hormones. We have women, we have men of all ages that listen to this podcast. So let's talk about hormones and falling in love. Spread the gospel. Help us here.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so much when it comes to hormones, especially hormones of attachment and what's happening to our body as we're aging. When do we attach the most? And, you know, in our reproductive years, it's during ovulation. During ovulation when we have peaks in testosterone and estrogen, and then we enter into the luteal phase where it's predominantly progesterone. But during those times of peaks, you know, peak ovulation, we're most attractive. Scientific studies have shown that we look our most attractive to a mate during those higher hormonal periods of higher hormonal concentration. And so it's also the time where we're more receptive to finding a mate and or mating, you know, having intimacy during those times as well. And as we age, those hormones start to decline. So we have to be very aware using our brain, our intelligence, and optimizing our hormones so that we maintain healthy levels of hormones and don't find ourselves disconnected and apathetic and without desire.
Yeah, absolutely. And right, this menopause thing is no joke.
It is no joke. And as we age in menopause, your hormones, DHEA, which is for both men and women in our 20s, it starts to decline. It peaks in our 20s and then starts to decline. And then progesterone in our mid to late 30s, that starts to decline pretty rapidly. It's like the ovaries have flipped a switch, and now we're producing significantly less progesterone. And progesterone is the precursor to all our hormones. It's also the hormone of, you know, intellect, you know, for memory and for good night's sleep. And when we're not experiencing enough good night's sleep, or usually because we're not making enough melatonin, we are more fatigued, more exhausted, and more disconnected. And testosterone levels will continue to decline as we age. So by the time we're in our 60s, we're at, you know, we have 75% less testosterone than when we were in our 20s. So, and testosterone is a hormone of that drive. It, you know, it helps increase dopamine, the interest, and of course, sexual health and sexual drive. It's one of many, but it's one. And then of course, the hormone's oxytocin, which is the most powerful hormone in our body. Mm-hmm. And it is the hormone of attachment as well. So understanding how things we do can increase attachment or decrease attachment, I think it's really, this is where hormones are such powerful medicine.
You know, we talk about this phrase that obviously bothers me, but I use it just like anybody else does, falling in love, right? And I think Dr. Helen Fisher, anthropologist, always says lust is nature's way of tricking us into attachment. So what are these hormones when we feel that obsessive love that she talks about? What's happening in our brains? Because we all know that that diminishes over time. So tell us about the cocktail and the alchemy that's going on in our brain.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of hormones that are involved. When we really look at it, we look at the hormones oxytocin and dopamine. So dopamine, we look at it as a drive hormone. It is when dopamine's low, we have depression. And, you know, we feel more isolated. The same with oxytocin. When it's low, we're less connected, easier to disconnect, less engaged, you know, less interested. And when oxytocin's high, we're designed to attach, connect, enjoy, you know, enjoy more. It's a very positive connection. And when we are having intimacy, physical touch, positive intimacy, a good time, we're usually getting spikes in oxytocin and dopamine during those times. Now, oxytocin in women lingers longer than it does in men. So you notice if you've had sex with a partner, and you may realize that he's not right for you, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, now that we've had sex and then there's oxytocin igniting our brain, it's like, oh my gosh, this one's for you. You've got to connect. And you kind of like, you are physically and physiologically connected emotionally through the hormone, these hormones. And so that's where it becomes dangerous for casual sex. In so many ways that before you know it, you may really be attached too soon and then avoid all, as like you like to call them, the red flags, right? You're not making decisions based on all the facts at hand, and you tend to ignore those red flags. Like, oh, well, I think I can make this work, you know? I think in our brain, that is one thing that's going on. And that's why we can, you know, we have to be so careful.
Yeah. I mean, oxytocin can blind us to so many red flags. But one thing that I want to talk about is what you said, casual sex. Okay. And now there's a lot out there that, well, you know, I'm a feminist, and if guys can go out there and have casual sex, I should be able to go out and have casual sex too. So here's my take on that. Here's my hot take. You can do whatever you want to do if you're a man or a woman, but part of being a woman and part of the beauty of being a woman is the power that we have. And Dr. Anna says, we emit oxytocin in higher levels and they linger longer. Right? So our power is attachment. And so why aren't we as good as casual sex? Because we have this amazing power of attachment. So it's not that you can't have casual sex. You can, but at that point, are you giving your power of attachment to someone who doesn't deserve it yet?
Right, right.
That's how I want you to look at this. It's not, I should be able to. It's like, wow, we have this superpower as women. And if I give that to you too early, guy who seems super hot, you know, clients will say, you know, God, you know, my mechanic is so cute and he flirts with me all the time. Like, maybe I should just go have a bender and get it out of me and just kind of make sure that all the equipment works. I'm like, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, sweet friend, is you're going to want him to call you. And that's the power of the attachment that hormones that we have. So use that judiciously. That is part of being a powerful female. You get to decide. So I just want to put that out there because I should be able to do this. I want to have casual sex. Why can't I? You can, but understand if you feel these feelings of attachment, that doesn't make you weak. That makes you strong and normal.
Right. And harnessing these feelings, harnessing this and this knowledge is really to our empowerment, right? It's so that we're not giving our power away, like you said, to someone not deserving or too soon without having fact checked everything. And dopamine too, that excitement, it's a drug, that dopamine hit. I want more, I want more, I want more. And, you know, and that's kind of that can feed this cycle in a negative way, but also in a positive way with the right person. So, you know, like you like to say, the lid to your pot. And I think when it comes to our, you know, looking at our hormones as we're aging, the good news is we can continue to empower our body to produce more, especially oxytocin. We have a choice with how we direct our attention, how we address our hormones, how we nourish our body, our mind, our spirit, our soul to increase more oxytocin without drugs and without, you know, vendors.
How do we do it? Tell us the secrets, Dr. Anna.
Well, love it. You know, positive touch is a really big way. And so is laughter and playing with a pet and doing things you enjoy with people you enjoy doing them with. Watching a funny movie. I'm always like, I write, you know, I want you to watch this movie or read this book. And one of my favorite ones to recommend is My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I mean, like, you're going to increase oxytocin in that one, right? Plus, weddings are a great way to increase oxytocin too. There's in research by Paul Zak, a researcher in oxytocin, the trust hormone as well, showed that in a wedding party next to the bride, the second person with the highest level of oxytocin is the mother of the bride. I thought that was a beautiful, that'll be me.
Oh, that'll be me too. 100%. I might have more oxytocin than my daughter at that point. Just sheer love. And speaking of oxytocin, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the physician here, but when we get induced to give birth, which I did with my daughter, who will be 20 by the time this episode airs, I got something called Pitocin. Is that amped up oxytocin? Tell us what this is and how.
Yeah, that is IV oxytocin. Yeah, and oxytocin helps stimulate uterine contractions in the uterus. And so, and when we're going into labor, it's oxytocin that's increasing those uterine contractions physiologically. And when we nurse, when we breastfeed, that also increases oxytocin. But as an obstetrician, if your labor is delayed, slowed down, or you're getting induced, we use oxytocin or Pitocin to increase labor. And so, you know, people will say when you hold your child, it's just a whole nother dimension of love. And that's so true. You are flooding with oxytocin if you went through, you know, childbirth.
And with oxytocin, it, you know, we think about sex. Well, okay, if I don't want an oxytocin bond, you know, does that mean, like, what are my limits? Like, can you talk about that? Like, you're talking about positive touch. So holding hands with someone you might be interested in gives you an oxytocin bump. Kissing, making out, like, what are the levels here? Like, what should we be thinking about?
Well, definitely all that positive touch. Anytime you're doing something you love and enjoy, especially with the, you know, a compounded effect of affection, caring about someone, wanting to be with someone, desiring them, and then the positive touch aspect, stimulation, you know, raising our levels of oxytocin as well as dopamine and anandamide, which increase that, you know, that feel good, that euphoria feeling, all of that happens. But definitely with orgasm and climax, it's significantly more. So being aware of that and saying, okay, well, I know that, say, we've been intimate, and let me just see, you know, how the oxytocin, you know, how it plays out. And that's where your checklist and your rules of the road really do help guide as guideposts. So,
So there is real there, and I know this, but I just needed confirmation from a physician. There is total truth in what we, you know, we practice, or we tell our clients to, again, keep their power, right? And so avoiding a full orgasm through sex, right? It's like, if that is the most heightened levels of oxytocin that we admit as women, then why don't we just hold off on that? But there's plenty that you can do. There's mile markers right in between that, from zero to the full Monty.
Yeah, there is, because there's energetic bonds as well as physical bonds. I mean, hormones are energetic molecules, right? So they have a frequency, and oxytocin has the highest frequency to what I know of any other hormone in our body. And so resonating that, it gets you in a great place. And this is where it's also, you know, you use it to maintain the health of a relationship, to have that connection long-term in marriages and, you know, long-term relationships, so that you don't become roommates. And then in, you know, and that was one of the things that was really important in our, that brought me to you through Nancy, was with her working with her love of her life, and then finding that she was getting urinary tract infections and having dryness and discomfort, and says, sex is really important for us. I want to have this for the rest of my life. I want to have this intimacy with this man, and it hurts, or I'm now have to be prescribed a daily antibiotic. And I was like, whoa, let's hold off on that, because the changes that are happening hormonally too as we age affect the health of the vagina, certainly. And you know, using nutrition and healthy lifestyle and topical products can really help improve that, so you don't have that division. Because if it hurts every time you do something, why would you want to do it, right?
Absolutely, 100%. So tell us about some of these nutritional changes that we can make that will help us to feel better in and out of the bedroom and elevate oxytocin. I'm all ears.
Yes. Well, definitely it's what I call my keto green way, the keto green lifestyle. And that is cutting back on carbs. The higher carbs we have, the, you know, associated with lower desire. So cutting back on carbs, especially sugars and artificial ingredients and high glycemic foods on a consistent basis. I mean, every once in a while. But to really push your body into a state of ketosis, again, it's a higher energetic state when our body's using fat for fuel versus glucose for fuel. So we're in this higher energetic state. You're clearer, can make better choices, and that's physiologically very nutritious. So an eating pattern that I came, especially menopause and beyond, perimenopause and beyond, it's with intermittent fasting, at least 13 to 16 hours between dinner the night before, preferably eaten by 7 p.m. And when you break fast the next morning, preferably between 10 and 11 a.m., because there are clock hormones that we want to work with and not against. And for most of us, the population, true for both men and women, those clock hormones, there's a surge at 6 a.m. for weight loss. There's a surge around 6 or 7 a.m. of one, and then other four key clock hormones surge around 10 a.m., 10 to 12, you know, 10 a.m. to noon. And so you see this surge in those hormones. So you want to eat like ideally with that cycle. And then also lots of alkalinizing greens. Now, one of the things that, you know, add to disconnect is cortisol, the stress hormone cortisol. When you're stressed, cortisol opposes oxytocin. So you have high cortisol, low oxytocin, more stress, less compatibility, more relationship issues, less connection. And that's a critical thing to be aware of. So managing your stress is another thing with the keto green lifestyle, because cortisol is very acidifying and oxytocin is very alkalinizing. So it puts your body in a healthier state with a healthy vibration when you're monitoring these things. And so, you know, I've written about this. I think that's so important to, you know, to follow these principles for high quality life and also for high sexual energy.
It's so key. And tell me, with intermittent fasting and cortisol, where do we get the benefits of fasting versus like putting our body under this much stress? Do you have thoughts on that? Because I'm always curious.
Yes, yes. Because fasting too much, too often can also increases cortisol, and especially if you've got fragile adrenals. So, you know, it can increase cortisol. And so that puts you into, that increases glucose, which increases insulin, and then you're in this fat storage mode. So with intermittent fasting, the benefit is your body is healing itself, repairing, get into the state of repair called autophagy. And so you're kind of getting rid of the unhealthy cells and also fat burning. So that is so important. That's an important piece for us to recognize and optimize how we're doing things, because we don't have all these reproductive hormones on board. Our DHEA, which, you know, peaks and starts to decline in our 20s. That's one of the big adrenal hormones, and that's a precursor to testosterone and estrogen. And then as well as testosterone, which also starts to decline in our 30s, 40s and beyond. And that is that, you know, muscle building, stress handling hormone as well. So when you're in that stress state, and you don't have the added protection of this reproductive, you know, the hormones we have in our 20s,
right,
then we have to combat that. And we do that with shifting our lifestyle. So shifting our lifestyle and our mindset, because one of the things I didn't mention to increase oxytocin is just gratitude. And you always say how important that is in a relationship, respecting gratitude. And so being thankful in the present moment for the little things. And that's part of what I call the keto green lifestyle that I use with all my patients.
Oh, that's great. And if
but you're fasting too long can increase uric acid and cortisol. And so then you're in, you know, that's a compounded fat storage mode, and you can become more inflamed.
And how do you know if you're at that point?
Well, one of the things, the first thing I do with my clients when they come see me is the questionnaires, right? I do the questionnaires. I ask them, you know, and I listen to what's been happening and in their lives. And then I test their hormones. I test blood work and I test urine and or salivary hormone. But when we're looking at cortisol, whether it's in the saliva or the urine over the course of the day, we can kind of see that pattern and see, is it a healthy pattern or is it, you know, abnormal.
Got it. Got it. Okay. So then you can kind of tell by the way somebody's hormones looked by looking at them at multiple points, if this is an issue. Wow. That's great. That's super cool. I'm a faster, as you and I have discussed. So I always wonder, like, is there an optimal point? Like, when do you know you're fasting too much or too little? And where does the, you know, autophagy versus cortisol, like where, like, how does all the stuff work together?
Well, and that's where you have to figure it out. So working, you know, doing this and leading these programs since, gosh, 2014, what I find from my community as well as my own experiences is that, you know, you if you're fasting, if you're just doing one meal a day, well, you know, that may work for men because they have 10 times the testosterone as women do. But for women, it's going to raise your cortisol a lot faster. And then again, cortisol is opposing oxytocin, less connection, less attachment.
And it also spikes insulin, to your point. So you're going to be in fat storage mode.
Yeah. Yeah. It can become diabetic. Yeah. I mean, it really can be, you know, high insulin, high cortisol over time. It's a time bomb waiting to explode. And so it's important to realize that men and women have to do this differently just because of our physiology. So working with our hormones, not against them.
I love that. So are there any other gems you have for us to work with our physiology versus against it?
Well, definitely again, being in the present moment, like that concept of being in the present moment, focusing on all the things you're grateful for in this present moment and thinking towards love. And I say, it's dialing up. Am I acting based on love or am I acting based on fear? And, you know, is what I'm doing good for me or is what I'm doing bad for me? And it's from the thoughts to the actions we take and the actions we don't take. And I saw you drinking a tall glass of water. Hydration is really important between meals. So to support our body's energy factories, right? And to dilute or to help us eliminate toxins that disrupt our hormones too. So sometimes, like thinking about a client that she'd been struggling with long COVID, and she's in her early 40s, a mom of two young girls, preteens, and she had been struggling with just complete exhaustion. And the biggest thing she said to me, you know, as she's been getting better and we've reversed it, she said, you know, I'm enjoying my kids so much more. I'm enjoying my husband. We had stopped having, you know, we were like, she said, it was basically forced intimacy, scheduled intimacy. And now she said, like, just the incredible desire. And that has really, I mean, just changes your life. And so I think the things that how we improve the health of our body, the health of our mind, the health of our spirit, work that together in this container is crucial to how we relate and how we can relate to others.
I love this so much about you and have from the time I met you. You're always positive and you encourage and inspire people to step back and become more mindful and think about, is this good for me? Is this being positive? Am I moving in the direction of what I want, what's good for me and my dreams? So I love that. And you're just a fountain of psychotic optimism all the time.
But it wasn't always that way. You know, I've had significant tragedy in my life, significant tragedy. And so I've been to the point where I was completely depressed and infertile at 39 from stress, depression, grief, all of those things. So like whoever's listening is like, oh, well, she's got it together. This doctor, girlfriend, doctor,
tell
all this good
story.
Stuff.
Tell us.
Yeah, I was depressed. I was suicidal. And, you know, I was completely disconnected. And so, you know, I think it's really important to understand that you can shift your physiology with small, little, one at a time, actionable steps to support you. And when you know, that's why I like to teach about, especially about oxytocin and our hormones as we age, because when we understand the physiology, we make more sense to ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you're right. And you went through this dark, dark tunnel of life and took yourself, you had to learn how to get yourself out of it because nobody, the advice you were getting wasn't helping you.
No. And, you know, here, take an antidepressant, here, have some Xanax. Well, you know, of course, you know, of course you don't feel good. You're aging or whatever. This is the situation you're in. And that's not acceptable. And that's why I'm really, again, the empowerment piece to empower other women and men is just so critical. And it's really what I'm passionate about, that we are in charge of our bodies, our minds, our spirit. And there's so much power. I mean, our bodies, it makes its own pharmacy better than anything we can get at any drugstore.
That's right. And just aiding and abetting that positive pharmacy by good lifestyle habits, like you said, having less processed and ultra processed foods, staying away from the bad carbs, the sugar. Man, I need to listen to this and take a page out of your book here, and staying with more alkaline foods and greens and fasting and all of these things done in concert just help you to be better and to feel better.
Totally. Yes. Yes. And it all works together. And I think that's a really important piece. So I always like to just really empower that piece.
And you wrote a book called Menopause. Tell us about that.
Menopause is my book with 5 different 6-day menu plans that each pause something different. Because, you know, like we do something and we get great results and then we hit a plateau, you know, we're kind of stuck and we need to figure out what do we need to shift or change? What do we need to pause? Potentially, what do we need to pause to overcome this obstacle? And so it's 5 different 6-day menu plans from recipes from the healing foods from around the world that women have used through menopause to really maintain like great health.
That's awesome. And yeah. So some of them I'm assuming are weight loss and things like that, like just
weight loss, get rid of hot flashes, get rid of muscle aches and pains, have clearer brain, more positive attitude. That's built into everything I write, pretty much. And so, and you know, making good food choices, so just supporting our body's natural hormone production as well as its elimination of our hormone metabolites in a safe way. And that's a critical piece. So all my menus are really medicinal menus that are designed to support your body's natural adrenals and your hormone factory, detox your liver, you know, make sure that you're getting regular bowel movements. All of those things are critically important to feeling good in our own skin at our happy, healthy weight. And what that looks like for each woman is a little different. So
I love that so much. And we'll certainly put a link to your book in the show notes. Are there any last gems that you want to drop on our dear men and women that might be listening?
Oh my gosh, yes. Because as I was dating in my, you know, thanks to you, dating again in my 50s, and it was listening to other men in their 50s or so talk about their ex. It's quite interesting. It's like, well, my ex was bipolar. And I've heard that so many times, or she just went crazy on me. And I want people to realize that's a hormone imbalance. And I, more often than is it a psychiatric diagnosis, it's a hormone imbalance symptom. So as our progesterone's declining, estrogen's declining, those mood swings, irritability. So we want to support our body so that we, you know, aren't like the ocean waves, but we're more like the calm sea. So able to handle things, able to fluctuate. And I think it's important for women, especially in this time frame, when you initially meet someone and there's excitement, you're pouring out dopamine and oxytocin, but you haven't fixed underlying hormonal imbalances, over time, those are going to show up again.
Right. And because they're just being masked.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, amazing. Well, you are awesome. And where can we check out your website to learn more about you?
Yeah, thank you, Bella. It is at dranna.com. So dranna.com. And at The Girlfriend Doctor on all my social media channels.
Oh my gosh, you were amazing. And thank you so much for imparting your sound medical advice and gems onto us. And I'm sure we will have you back to the show again. Thank you.
Thank you.
And for those of you who are listening and inspired to make a change to your life, do it, right? The power of your life is in your own hands. You have the steering wheel of the car to your own life. If somebody negative is in your car, open the door, get them out, and you get back into the driver's seat and start to make the changes that are going to take that car to the place of your dreams. And only you have the steering wheel to do that. So I want you to be inspired that you have the power to change the things that you want to in your life. So if you like this episode, feel free to rate it. Feel free to write a comment. I read every one and they mean the world to us. And download this episode and share it with everybody that needs it. So until next week, Smart Daters, I bid you farewell. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.